Welcome to Reigniting You, the show that explores a variety of topics and timely issues for making successful mid to late career transitions with a renewed sense of purpose and fulfillment for the next phase of your career and life, regardless of your age. Now, here's your host, Lisa Downs.
Welcome to Reigniting You, where we talk all things career transition for those age 40 plus. I'm Lisa Downs, Seattle-based career and retirement transition coach. Happy to be here with you today, and our producer, Eric. Hi, Eric. Happy 6 months of doing the show together.
Wow, has it been 6 months already?
Already been 6 months already. I think technically it was last Thursday or something, if we go by the date-wise, but it's hard to believe it's been that long already.
It is. It's our half-year anniversary.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun so far.
And we've got some more great listener questions on tap for today. It's the second week of the month, so that means it's time for our Ask Lisa episode. I'll be answering listeners' career transition questions by providing a few tips, and we'll get started with that right after this quick break. Hi, I'm Lisa Downs, career and retirement transition coach and host of Reigniting You on KKNW. I guide age 40-plus professionals to gain clarity, a renewed sense of purpose, and a career transition plan within 90 days so you can lead a fulfilling life regardless of your age. No longer does change have to mean riding off into the proverbial sunset. Let's talk about what your next phase of life can look like. Visit yournewaspect.com or call me at 425-216-3015. That's 425-216-3015. New Aspect Coaching, fresh perspectives for your career.
What's your story? Have you ever sat with that question and looked to your heart for the answer? It's time to explore the real you. Tune in Thursdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the brand new show, Story You, with Coach Debbie. Debbie and her guests have a mission to inspire and coach you to find your voice. If you need direction, Story You with Coach Debbie is for you. If you want to be an author, Story You with Coach Debbie is for you. Tune in Thursdays at 4 p.m. and be inspired.
Going our own way every day. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Reigniting You, the show that focuses on all aspects of making mid to late career transitions. So, Eric, we have a wide array of listener questions that came in.
We do. Fantastic.
We do. Yeah, excellent questions. So the first one is from Carla in Ballard, and she shares that she always dreads getting asked the question, what are your greatest weaknesses in interviews? And asks, how can I answer this question in a way that goes over well? So have you gotten that question before in interviews, the greatest weaknesses thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And my old joke on that is always that you just answer that you're a workaholic, you know, because that's really what they want to hear, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That you're going to do the job and, you know, if anything, I try too hard, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It could be a good response to that.
Yeah.
I always felt that was kind of a silly question because it's hard to honestly answer what your weakness is without, you know, feeling vulnerable, like this is going to mean that you're not going to get the job. So you
right.
don't feel like answering that question honestly, to be honest.
Yeah, honest. And I always take the tack that, you know, we all have weaknesses and they are things that are going to be with us throughout our entire lives. And they've always been our weaknesses.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a fan of let's emphasize the strengths and how to capitalize on our strengths.
Exactly.
And leverage those as best as we can, as opposed to, you know, what are your weaknesses? It's like, well, I still stink at softball.
Right.
You know, I'm still bad at this.
That's a good response.
And, you know,
something completely un-job related,
yeah.
you know.
Un-job related.
Yeah.
And, so the key really, Carla, is, you know, it's really a balance of not being, You know, you don't want to be phony about it. So you don't want to come across as disingenuous or something like, I'm just too nice, or, you know, too easy to get along with, or anything like that. So those types of responses do run the danger of making you seem insincere, coming across that way, or disingenuous. And you also want to avoid any weaknesses that you perceive that are really necessary for whatever role you're interviewing for. So as with many things, you know, it really depends on the role, type of job. So, you know, it wouldn't be great for someone who's going after a project manager role, for example, to say their weakness is time management, or, you know, someone who is going for some sort of data analyst role saying they're not great with details. So, you know, you want to make sure that whatever you choose, that it's not something that would be necessary for the role. So instead, you know, my recommendation, if you get asked that question, I would say go with ones that are more tangential to the role, and then share what you're doing or have done to work on it. So, you know, if it's something where it requires a lot of individual work, you could say, well, you know, I'm always working on my skills when it comes to working with a team and my communication skills with teammates. And, you know, here's what I've done to address that. You know, I've taken these types of courses, or, you know, I'm working on these specific skills. So, you know, in that example, you know, working as part of a close team isn't necessarily part of the role if it is something that's more independent, or, you know, a lot of independent solo desk work. So, you know, try to choose things that are more tangential, you know, I would say, to the role, that aren't as critical to help with that piece. But yeah, that's always one of those questions that you just go, ugh, really? You couldn't have come up with something else? You
know, I like that, though. If you do give a weakness that could potentially be related to your duties, make sure you do give the steps that you've taken to improve yourself there.
Yeah.
I think people would respect that.
Oh, yeah. You know, they'll respect that. And, you know, we all have something, you know, or a couple things that we need to work on. But it's just a matter of context and then choosing wisely, you know, choosing the ones that you can tell from the job description or previous conversations aren't going to torpedo your chances, yeah, in that particular role. So thanks, Carla, for that. The next question is from Leslie in Seattle, and she's wondering how to fill her time as someone who's newly retired and didn't really develop a lot of outside interests beyond her work as a teacher for many years. And she asked, so what should I be doing to stay busy? So thanks for that, Leslie. You know, it's really important to still have routines and a schedule as much as possible. You know, when we are go, go, go with work, we're so used to having that routine where we get up at the same time every day. We have our routine to get ready for work. We go to work, you know, we might have a commute or work from home. But then, you know, we have certain meetings on the calendar, certain schedule, try to find time to grab lunch, you know, grab some food, take a couple breaks, be done in the evening, and then, you know, have dinner and what have you in the evening. So we're so used to routines and a schedule. And it's still important in your retirement time, especially when it's still early on, to keep a routine and some sort of schedule. So what are some activities that you do enjoy doing? And are those things that you could do on a regular basis, whether daily or every other day, you know, a couple times a week? But the activities, you know, really do depend on what you enjoy. And, you know, do you like more physical activities? Do you like things that are more quiet tasks, time alone, time outside with other people, or just a mix? And, you know, I always encourage folks to at least some of the time that you had previously devoted to work hours, you know, can you take some of that, at least a portion of that, and do some volunteer work? Because there are just so many volunteer opportunities out there that you can do, and many don't require that you're on a fixed schedule. So, you know, with being a teacher and, you know, answering to that day in and day out for many years and being on that type of routine and schedule, some folks like to then look for volunteer opportunities where you can just do it as you feel like it, you know, do it on your own time. but at least it gives you something that you can plug into the calendar that you can count on to help you establish that routine. But there's great organizations out there. You know, a few to check out online are things like the Citizen Science Project. That's an excellent website. It's through our National Park Service here in the States. And they have different projects that you can join where you could go count animals. So if you like hiking and being outdoors, you could count animals. You could, do other things to track the weather and, other science-related projects through them that are really cool. There's also a site called Zooniverse that's also science project-related. There's the Create the Good site. That's through the AARP, and that's where you can search for volunteer opportunities that you may be interested in. And then another one I'll put in a plug for is the Smithsonian. So they have some pretty cool work from home projects you can do as a volunteer. One is where you could help translate some texts, so Egyptian and Greek ancient texts. You could help translate those, learn that skill. You could also transcribe old ship logs. So when you think about the days of when we didn't have air travel, and so much of the travel was done by sea, old captain's logs, that sounds pretty fascinating to me. You can do things that are more astronomy based. So all sorts of options there. So, Eric, you and I are a few years out from retirement still, yeah. But what are some types of activities you think you'd enjoy doing in your elderhood?
Well, I was going to say, I thought the doing nothing sounded really good to me when I think about retirement. But I think eventually that would probably get old, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I love your ideas on all those things that, you could really kind of take your hobbies to service level with some of these options. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, take it to service level. You could still have a lot of flexibility. You know, if you want to go on extended vacations, you can suspend it for a while.
But
still feel like you're doing something that gives you good energy, keeps you positive and engaged.
Right. So. And, traveling, of course, once we get through the pandemic is always a fantastic thing to do that I look forward to as far as retirement. One thing I'm not sure if you mentioned, but I know that manning lighthouses is something that you can do as a volunteer.
Yeah.
And I always think, well, when I retire, that might be a fun way to, spend some time, living kind of remotely at a lighthouse for a month or so and taking care of that.
That's pretty cool.
Just enjoying those views and stuff would be pretty neat.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. And I know there's a group also that's called Road Scholar, R-O-A-D, Scholar, and that's an organization that does educational trips. So where you go learn about some, history and a destination maybe you've always wanted to go to and learn more about, and they sponsor those trips and that are really educational in nature and all sorts of different options and opportunities. So the key is what's going to give you energy and keep you positive and healthy and interacting and always a fan of still having some sort of schedule for those retirement years so you don't just feel like you're idle or declining.
Yeah,
for sure. So thanks, Eric. And thank you, Carla and Leslie, for your questions. And it's time for our next break. When we come back, I'll answer some additional listener career transition questions and preview what we've got coming up next week.
Are you feeling challenged or frustrated without a plan for what's next in your career and life? Are you seeing writings on the wall for needing to make a mid to late career change and don't know how or what to do? Coach Lisa Downs of New Aspect Coaching can guide you to what's next, providing a fresh perspective and supporting you to create a clear and compelling vision for your future and a plan to move forward. Call Lisa at 425-216-3015. That's 425-216-3015. New Aspect Coaching. Fresh perspectives for your career.
This is Rob Bass, and I want you to tune in to Don't Ask Me to Talk with Stacey Heller, the show that brings joy from pain, sunshine where it rains. Don't Ask Me to Talk with Stacey Heller. And that's coming from me, Mr. It Takes Two, Rob Bass. Tune in.
Do what Rob Bass says. Take a listen to Don't Ask Me to Talk with Stacey Heller. That's me. Tuesdays from 3 to 4 on KKNW. To find out more information, check out my website, stacyconnects.com, or text DAMTT to 55678.
Hello, I'm Nathan Mum. Join me and Mike Rodet as we host a weekly technology show that talks about technology for the everyday common person. We are a live radio program that airs Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. If you go to facebook.com/techtimeradio, youtube.com/techtimeradio, or twitch.tv/techtimeradio, you can catch us live Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m. You can find us at all podcast services online, from Apple to Google and everything in between.
Have a career transition related question or want to share your best or worst job story? Call 360-436-6496. That's 360-436-6496. Just leave a voicemail and we'll answer your question or share your story on a future show. Stay tuned for more Reigniting You with Lisa Downs.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Welcome back to Reigniting You, the show that discusses timely issues and topics about career transitions for Gen Xers and Boomers. I'm your host, Lisa Downs. If you'd like to get in touch with me, feel free to go to yournewaspect.com. That's yournewaspect.com, where you can sign up for my weekly career tips e-newsletter. You can also take my free career transition readiness quiz. Head on over to yournewaspect.com. You can also contact me through the website there. Well, we're continuing our episode focused on my answering listener questions called Ask Lisa, a regular feature the second week of each month. I'm here with our producer, Eric. So, Eric, what struck you from the first couple of questions that we got?
Well, great questions. And people are, you know, thinking about their future, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, always good. Yeah, always want to have eyes on the prize, right? And
exactly.
The future and goals and all of that good stuff.
Having something to work forward or look forward to or work towards, I think can alleviate a lot of anxiety.
Definitely. Yeah. And our next question is from Neil in Spokane, and it's another one dealing with interviews. So maybe that means some people are getting interviews. So that's good.
That's
That'd
true.
Be great.
Speaking of anxiety.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, for sure. But he asks, how do I answer the interview question about where I see myself in 5 to 10 years when by then I'll probably be retiring? Well, thanks, Neil, for that. You know, that's another one of those. I was just saying to Eric on the break that I just wish that one would also go by the wayside. It's like,
right.
Can we be more creative and come up with better interview questions?
Yeah, but there's a few of these questions that we should just tell employers
now. Speaking of retiring, can we just retire those?
Exactly.
Really? We're still asking that, and it's what year? So, you know, my recommendation is just really balance being honest with fielding it in a positive way. So you can talk about things like how interested you are in the job and the organization, how you'd like to excel in the role to increasingly add value over time to the organization, which implies a long-term situation that you're looking at. You can also emphasize what you'd hope to accomplish at the organization in that time frame, and how you can also bring younger employees along and help develop them at the same time. So think about, you know, what are things you could say that do not imply that you're going to be a short timer and that you're really looking to grow your skill set, continue to grow your skill set, that you're a lifelong learner, you know, looking forward to helping the organization in specific ways that apply a bit of a longer tail to it. So that way, you know, they don't get the impression that you're gonna be gone, you know, after just a year or so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think 5 to 10 years at this point is considered a decent amount of time to work at any company.
It is. It is. Yeah. You know, and these days it's pretty common for people to leave after just a year or two.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was me. I would leave a place. I'd last about 2 years, be it, and I get bored and I'd want to go find the next thing, right? And tackle the next challenge. So, but yeah, I think it's generally more accepted. And the reason why, you know, they ask that question is they just want to make sure that you do have goals, You know, you've got plans, you've got goals, you have things that you want to accomplish. So that's really the intent of that question, even though it's one that's gotten really tired over the years.
But right.
Thanks, Neil, for that one. Next is a question from Trish in Sacramento, who shares that she's trying to figure out a career path for her second act and has about 4 or 5 different ways she's been thinking of going in terms of the type of work or how she'd make a living. And she asks, how do I narrow this down so it's not overwhelming when I get so excited about all the possibilities? Well, thanks for that one, Trish. And you know what I always advise with that is to do a bit of a brainstorming exercise, whether it's just yourself and you're doing a data dump just out of your brain, or with another person or two who you value their insights and ideas, and just do a brainstorm. And the key to it is to note your ideas somewhere. So whether that's on a piece of paper, in a notebook, on a whiteboard, flip chart paper that you stick on the wall, but, you know, chalkboard, anything that you've got access to, the key is to document it. So get down all those ideas. And so really think about, for each of the paths you're considering, what are the key things in terms of tasks, resources, infrastructure, anything like that, that you would need to have in place to be able to pursue that path? And then once you've got all of that brainstormed for each of the different directions, the 4 or 5 ways that you're thinking about, then take a look at those lists and say, okay, well, out of all of this and all the what I would need to have in place for each of the 4 or 5, what do I think would be the top 2 that, now that I see it all on paper, might be the most doable or gets me the most excited? So then it's time to do a bit of prioritizing, you know. So what would you say would be the top 2 to go for after seeing all of those tasks and resources and things you need to have in place that really you think, I think that would be something that I could pursue that seems doable to me and that I would really be excited about. So, but I'm always a fan of just get stuff out of your head, you know, just get it out of your brain, get it down on paper somewhere, and then that gives your brain space to come up with new and different ideas, and it, you know, eases the strain on your brain from a capacity perspective. So just get it all out. So Eric, what are some of your favorite methods to weigh things when you're looking to make a big decision? I know for me, often I'll do like a pros and cons list and that type of thing.
I was just going to mention that.
Do you do that too?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just mentally rather than physically on paper. But, you know, sometimes doing it all on paper really actually does help, because as you go through and look at it, you can second guess things and then cross them out, to kind of keep things straight. Like, well, maybe that wasn't as big of a con as I thought it was, you know, or maybe that's not as big of a pro as I think it is. I think, you know, it's good to weigh those things. But I would say that, you know, to me, this sounds like something to look forward to, actually, is that the creative choice of what to do next seems like kind of a fun thing.
It's fun.
It can also, you know, and we talked about anxiety, be one of those things that creates anxiety. But, you know, if you look at it as you don't have to do any of these things, you know. So the fun, creative part of it should, I think, be savored if possible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is a fun exercise. You know, I always think it's really fun to just think about the future and to get stuff down. And especially if you're a visual person, too. You know, if you really gravitate toward words and images and the visual, then getting it out of your head and down on paper somehow is really a great way to then, to see it so you can eliminate things and make certain choices. And I always advise, you know, leave it somewhere where you can see it. Spend some time away from it for a while and then go back, you know, a few days later or whenever you have time, and take a fresh look at it again and then see, you know, is there anything else that I've missed, that I've thought about since, that I want to put down there? Or, you know, do I have some different ideas? So just some other suggestions there for how to tackle that. But thanks, Eric. And thank you, Neil and Trish, for your questions. I hope this was helpful for everyone. Just a reminder that if you have a career transition question for me, you can send an email to reignitingyou@gmail.com or call 360-436-6496 to leave a voicemail with your first name and location for me over audio. You can use a pseudonym. You don't have to use your real first name if you prefer. That number again is 360-436-6496. I'll then share it live on the air the second week of May. And it's time for my reignition recommendation, a tip of the week to reignite your career and life regardless of your age. And my suggestion for you today is to start using the phrase yes and when it comes to your self-talk. So much of the time we like to say, yeah, but, or, you know, I can't do that because, or we come up with all of our usual excuses or make up reasons why we can't do something. We're really good at that. We're very accomplished at coming up with every reason why we cannot do something. So instead of that, try saying yes and then build on the idea and say yes and again. It's an old improv trick, too. So for those who've done improv or, you know, spent any time in comedy or creative writing, yes and is a great tool and technique to use when it comes to your self-talk to help you focus on what's possible and what you can do. And as a reminder, if you'd like to get in touch with me, just head on over to yournewaspect.com. where you can find how to contact me. You can also take my free career transition readiness quiz and sign up for my career tips newsletter. Well, thanks, Eric, for helping out with the show today, and hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some great, wonderful questions again from our listeners. So please keep those coming, folks, so it helps make our job easier, and love to assist however I can and support you however I can in response to your questions. Join us next Wednesday at 3 o'clock when my guest will be tax attorney John Milikowski, who will be here to talk about the nuts and bolts of starting or selling a business. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week on Reigniting You.